Listen, there's a great work to be done. As soon as you win this court battle, you must deliver this message. Take advantage of this opportunity and declare a powerful message to this world. He expects more of us. He believes we can do more. Who's going to stop Christ? Who's going to stop Christ from getting this work done?
This is Behind the Work.
Welcome to Behind the Work. I'm Grant Turgeon. Since February, thousands of people have traveled from around the world to visit Kingdom of David and Solomon Discovered, our new exhibit here at Armstrong Auditorium in Edmond, Oklahoma. This exhibit really is special. It is something that is basically unprecedented in the field of archaeology. Putting all these puzzle pieces together to prove a larger narrative. And that narrative is truthful. It's a biblical narrative that King David and King Solomon presided over the golden age of Israel's history. A powerful, expansive, influential Israelite empire in the 10th century BCE. There are skeptics, there are critics who used to deny altogether that David even existed. When forced to change that opinion, they said, well, maybe David existed, but he wasn't really that important. He was nothing really more than a tribal chieftain. This exhibit definitively proves that claim wrong. David was a powerful king. His son Solomon was a powerful king. Israel was a powerful nation under David and Solomon. This exhibit truly is remarkable. I've been going through it piece by piece whenever I'm here in town, just absorbing the knowledge. There's a lot to read. There's a lot to feast your eyes upon in terms of artifacts and art. It's a beautiful exhibit, and many thanks to those who worked hard and long to put all that together. But it really is worth seeing, and you can go see it here in person at Armstrong Auditorium. You can go to armstrongauditorium.org and see the hours that the exhibit is open. You can go to armstronginstitute.org to even view a virtual tour of the exhibit. But if you can, you really should try to come here and visit it in person. Last week on the show, I talked about how all the artifacts in this exhibit are from the 10th century BCE, from the actual time of David and Solomon, except for two artifacts. There are just two artifacts from a different time period. On the surface, that wouldn't really seem to make much sense. If we have an exhibit about David and Solomon, why do we have these two artifacts from the 8th century BCE, almost 200 years later? Well, that is an interesting question. It's a great question. And I did talk about those two artifacts on the show last week, but they're the clay seal impressions, or the bulla, of Eliakim and Hilkiah. This is really just a fascinating history. These are two men who are very important in your Bible. Eliakim possessed the key of the house of David. So in that way, you can see how at least this history does relate back to David and Solomon. If Eliakim possessed the key of the house of David. But Eliakim was an important messenger in the midst of a life or death struggle between Judah and Assyria. King Hezekiah of Judah was desperate for survival because the Assyrian dictator and tyrant Sennacherib had just whipped through all of Judah, destroying all the cities of Judah. And now his army was camped outside Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the crown jewel of Sennacherib's mission. Sennacherib hoped to conquer and destroy Jerusalem just like he did with all these other Jewish cities. So Hezekiah was, of course, urgently searching for a solution of some kind. He knew he was in big trouble. King Sennacherib's army consisted of 185,000 soldiers. There they were, just camped outside Jerusalem, their multitude extending like a vast ocean all around the city. Jerusalem was really on the verge of death. So Hezekiah initially tried to bargain with Sennacherib. He tried to escape destruction and death by bribing Sennacherib, by trying to appeal to the merciful side of Sennacherib, which didn't exist. Eliakim was the messenger going back and forth. Eliakim was sending Hezekiah's messages over to Sennacherib and returning Sennacherib's replies to Hezekiah. Eliakim was a crucial figure in this history. Now, Hilkiah was another very important figure. He was around during the time of Josiah. So really a similar time period as well. Josiah was another righteous king of Judah, just like Hezekiah was. And you can read in 2 Kings and in 2 Chronicles about Hilkiah and how he discovered a book of the law. During Hilkiah's time, during the reign of King Josiah, the temple was in disrepair. Pagan religion was prospering in Judah. Houses of pagan worship had been set up all over the place. But Josiah hated pagan religion. He took violent action to abolish all pagan religion in his nation. And part of that was because of this discovery of the book of the law in the temple. As Hilkiah, the high priest, and others were searching this temple that had fallen into disrepair and disuse, Hilkiah found this book of the law, probably the book of Deuteronomy, that talks about blessings and curses. Hilkiah obviously was disturbed by the message of Deuteronomy, or whatever this book of the law was. He realized that Judah was pretty far off track and needed to fix things, needed to start worshiping and fearing God again. Hilkiah passed this book of the law on to King Josiah. Josiah rent his clothes and wept because he knew that Judah was way off track. And he repented to God on behalf of the nation. And he forced the nation to obey God. So quite remarkable history of these two men, Eliakim and Hilkiah. Eliakim, this royal messenger, this royal servant of the house of David under King Hezekiah. And then also Hilkiah, the high priest during the time of Josiah, who found a book of the law and was part of putting Judah back on track in their religion, worshiping the true God properly once again. Isaiah 22 calls Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah. Now, what that's really talking about is Eliakim following the tradition of Hilkiah. As I just talked about, Hilkiah really deeply respected God's law and wanted to do whatever was necessary to obey God's law. Eliakim was of the same mind. He had the same attitude, respecting the law, doing his job to the fullest, serving the king, really wanting the best for his nation of Judah. Now, what's so fascinating about Eliakim and Hilkiah is that they're not just ancient figures from thousands of years ago, probably almost 3,000 years ago. No, these two figures are actually types of two men in this end time. Hilkiah and then Eliakim. Herbert W. Armstrong died in 1986, but before that, he served God wholeheartedly for about 60 years. He did God's work. He delivered the true gospel message of the coming kingdom of God around the world for anyone to hear if they wanted to, just like it's prophesied to happen in Matthew 24, verse 14, one man delivering that gospel message worldwide. Also, Mr. Armstrong visited more heads of state than anyone of his time. He was called an unofficial ambassador for world peace. He established several colleges, both here and in England. He was part of archaeological excavations in Judah, or in Israel, as it's called today, and elsewhere. Most importantly, though, Mr. Armstrong loved God's law. He applied God's law in God's church. And he really did make God's church a family. It was a family environment, a focus on teaching the young people and giving them fun, enriching, fulfilling lives. It was an emphasis on establishing the father as the authority in the home and strengthening the relationships between husbands and wives, parents and children. Malachi 4 is a prophecy of what this end time Hilkiah would do. Mr. Armstrong was also an end time type of the ancient prophet Elijah. So this is what it says in Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the eternal, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Mr. Armstrong turned hearts. Mr. Armstrong focused on God's law. He respected God's law, established that law in families, and then those families reaped the rewards. Happy, obedient, respectful children, loving husbands and wives, fulfilling their roles within the home. And that really did strengthen the entire church. The whole church was blessed. The entire worldwide church of God was blessed as a result of keeping the law, just like the end time Hilkiah taught. Eliakim is the son of Hilkiah in this end time. Mr. Gerald Fleury, the pastor general of the Philadelphia Church of God, is following in that tradition of Hilkiah, of Mr. Armstrong, deeply respecting God's law, applying God's law in every situation, every decision that is made in this work is made according to God's law. And that's what makes everything such a remarkable success. This Kingdom of David and Solomon Discovered exhibit is a remarkable success, because the people working on it worked according to God's law. They put God first, and they wanted to declare a powerful message through this exhibit. Now, going back to Eliakim, anciently, this go-between for King Hezekiah of Judah and King Sennacherib of Assyria, Eliakim delivering messages back and forth between them, a very important job. Well, Eliakim was up close and personal for a dramatic miracle, as it talks about in 2 Kings 19. Remember, this army of King Sennacherib was camped outside Jerusalem, ready to destroy the city. Meanwhile, Hezekiah was crying out to God for deliverance. Hezekiah was very close with the prophet Isaiah, seeking counsel from him, which really is counsel from God, because Isaiah was God's man. So Hezekiah was receiving this vital, valuable counsel from Isaiah and from God. And because Hezekiah was so close to God, a miracle took place. This is 2 Kings 19, verse 32. 2 Kings 19, starting in verse 32. Therefore, thus says the Eternal concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, says the Eternal. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. Again, another connection to King David. Another reason why we have these two clay seals of Eliakim and Hilkiah from the 8th century BCE in our Kingdom of David and Solomon Discovered exhibit, which otherwise is full of artifacts from the 10th century BCE, almost 200 years earlier. But Eliakim and Hilkiah, anciently, are intimately connected with David. Therefore, their place in the exhibit is justified. But here's God saying in 2 Kings 19, verses 32 through 34, that he would defend Jerusalem. Eliakim was about to witness a miracle of massive proportions. God said the Assyrian army, 185,000 rugged soldiers, won't even have a chance to shoot a single arrow at Jerusalem. I have a force field around Jerusalem. No one's getting in. No one's getting close. 2 Kings 19, verse 35. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Eternal went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So that's a funny way to say it. When they awoke, they were dead. But Sennacherib was still alive, and he went home. Notice verse 36. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. This previously undefeated King Sennacherib was sorely defeated by God. Now, when we think about this history, we really ought to be inspired. Mr. Fleury wrote a wonderful coworker letter on March 19th of this year, all about this Kingdom of David and Solomon Discovered exhibit, focusing mainly on the clay seal impressions of Eliakim and Hilkiah that we have on display there. But Mr. Fleury writes that basically this miracle took place because of faith and focusing on the vision of God the Father. Mr. Fleury writes, Hezekiah and Isaiah showed us how to save physical and spiritual Jerusalem. This is a powerful example. The world thinks it is just a myth. It is not. Wiping out that army was nothing for God. The world just can't seem to accept anything miraculous that God does. You see, another miracle from God with evidence on display in Armstrong Auditorium here in Edmond, Oklahoma, with our biblical archaeology exhibit. Eliakim and Hilkiah really existed. Hezekiah and Isaiah really existed. We've also displayed their clay seal impressions, their bulle, in a different exhibit before. All these biblical figures existed to verify the biblical record. We know that these things in the Bible happen because we even find real evidence in the dirt. Mr. Fleury says something really quite inspiring at the end of this March 19th coworker letter. He says, this exhibit is all about God's family plan. He writes, this whole world is about to become one huge loving family. It is all about love, not about tyranny. God is creating a family. He is recreating himself in each of his spirit-begotten people today, and he will do so with everybody else if they're going to be in his family. That is God's plan. Now, King David, God made big promises to King David. He said in 2 Chronicles 21, verse 7, howbeit the Eternal would not destroy the house of David because of the covenant that he had made with David, and as he promised to give a light to him and to his sons forever. God made a promise to David that his family would last forever. And really, it's talking about God's family. It's talking about God's work today, shining that light on the legacy of David so that the whole world can see. And we all have a chance to be part of God's family. That's our opportunity. David has a physical line, but also a spiritual line. Jesus Christ was from the lineage of David. He wants more and more people to be born into God's family one day. And we all have that opportunity at some point. So this exhibit is all about God's family plan. The promises God made to David are still in effect today. The family that God was building back then is still being built today. Mr. Fleury writes, that is why these artifacts and discoveries are so important and why this exhibit is really soaring the way we want it to. Please keep praying about it. And if there is any way you can visit, please do so. You can visit it virtually online at armstronginstitute.org. But we would love to have you come and see the exhibit in person while it remains here until next January. We expect to have some wonderful fruits from this exhibit. What a message. What an exhibit we have on display here in Armstrong Auditorium. Please come visit if you have any chance at all to do so. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Behind the Work.
You've been listening to Behind the Work. Email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for a new episode each Monday at 12 p.m. Central Time.